You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, guys? This is Talking the Draft Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey, joined by my co-host tonight, Cole Patterson and Dalton Miller. We're going to talk something we haven't really talked about this year. We've talked about trading back. We've talked about options in certain rounds. But today we're going to talk about trade-up candidates. And we're not talking about from 10 to 5 or from 10 to 2. That's ridiculous. But we're going to talk about trading up either late into the first, getting back into the first round, securing that fifth round the fifth-year option, or trading up into the second round, early day two, getting up there and getting a player that fell out of the first round. But before we get into it, fellas, how y'all doing tonight?
Doing pretty well. You know, the draft's just right around the corner. We're getting closer and closer, so it's pretty exciting.
I don't want to put my draft guide together. I'm going to be real with you. I mean, that is just such a labor of love. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have to do it. All I want to do is watch more tape and write articles and do video stuff and do literally anything but put together a draft guide, because that's a nightmare.
Obviously I don't log this stuff, but I guarantee I've watched twice as much tape this year as I ever have, and the content that I've put out so far has been like the least amount of draft content I've put out. But it's just because I'm putting it all into the draft guide, and like those reports are a lot more detailed and there's a lot more into those. But like as far as like putting it out for like you said, like stuff on Twitter, video content or articles.
Oh, yeah, my Twitter game is just horrendous right now.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm like 3/4 of the way done, probably 80% done. And I bet you I've logged 100+ hours on tape and stuff and putting this thing together. It's insane. You think 100 to 125, small scouting reports would take a day or two, but it takes so long.
Yep.
But let's talk about some of these guys, because we know the guys at 10, we know the Patrick Surtains, the JC Horns, the Kyle Pitts's. We know about a lot. I mean, we know about a lot of these guys we're going to talk about today too. But is there the thing that I keep going back to when I'm doing these mock draft simulators, when I'm on PFN or PFF or TDN doing these mock drafts, there's always a lot of intriguing names that are there, at 22, 23, 28, 34. And I go, we got 10 draft picks. Why aren't we trading up here? Why aren't we moving up and getting the linebacker, getting the defensive tackle, getting the safety, getting the corner? Like, there's a lot of things that I think we're kind of skipping over in this draft process because we're so focused on Patrick Surtain, JC Horn, Kyle Pitts, Rashawn Slater, Penei Sewell. And I want to talk about some of those guys today. And Cole, I'll start with you. Is there any names that you kind of see in these simulators or see that kind of seem to be fit in that 23 to 35 range that you'd be really interested in moving up for and securing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on what they do at 10. It's kind of who you mentioned. If they do go offense, say like a Kyle Pitts falls, or they take Slater, one of those offensive tackles, maybe somebody like Greg Newsome could be a guy that they can move up for if he starts to slip past the Chicago Bears around that area. If they can move up and get one of those corners and, take an offensive guy and still get one of the best corners in the draft, I think you can leave that Thursday night pretty happy with what you got. Like you mentioned, they have, 10 draft picks to play around with. I think we can all agree that 10 rookies aren't going to make the roster next year. We know that Jerry Jones wants to compete this year. I mean, I mean, that's why they signed Dak. That's why he went with Mike McCarthy over a younger guy. He thinks his roster is built to win now. So why not be aggressive? Why not try to get as many of your top guys as possible? I think Newsom's a guy that you can get in the back half of the first round if you're willing to move up for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Dalton, I wanted to ask you, but before I do, I know last week we talked about when we did our mock draft, we talked about Tampa Bay being a team that doesn't really have a whole lot of needs. I feel like that's a big spot to kind of look at, too, depending on who's there. But, like, maybe they could be a team looking to move out of there because they don't really, you know, they're not pressed to take a player there. Maybe they try to move out, stockpile some picks, and just, you know, kind of start to not rebuild, but really stockpile picks and just pick some guys that they really like. And they might try to move out of that spot. Is there anyone that you'd kind of look at in that, you know, 20 to 32 range? Or, like I said, it doesn't even have to be first round. I just say first round because I know how important that fifth-year option is to these teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of guys for me, honestly. I mean, I'm looking at guys like Joseph Asai, if he's there around 32, the edge rusher from Texas. Jalen Phillips is one that, you know, I think he's the best edge rusher in this class, and he is a true blue star special injury guy, but that, you know, supremely talented player. I don't think guys like Jameen Davis are going to be around, but Baron Browning is a guy who might be around, the front half of the second round. Because when you look at it, I mean, these are some really talented players, but Micah Parsons, JOK, Jameen Davis, Zaven Collins, Baron Browning, like, I doubt five of those guys go in the first round. First of all, I think that would be a bad use of resources to move, you know, to do all that for, you know, or to draft linebackers that high because so many good ones are still available after that. And guys like Jabril Cox and Pete Warner, Nick Bolton, Dylan Moses even, you know, Cameron McGrone is another guy. So they're like, there's a bunch of good linebackers. I don't think that moving up for one necessarily is something that I want to do. But man, like, we have Caleb Farley as our 31st, you know, ranked prospect on the board for the draft simulator, and it's because of the back. He's my favorite corner in this draft class. If he's still around at the end of the first round, I might take him, and I might want to go up into the first round to do it, because then you do have that fifth-year option if you lose out on a year, you know, because of injury for whatever reason with him. Or if he ends up just being that good, you have that fifth-year option with him, and you're not paying him that much because he was, you know, the 30th ranked or the 30th pick in the draft instead of, you know, a little bit higher than that. But, you know, guys like Ifeatu Melifonwu early in the second round, if we start to get pinched on corners and we didn't take one in round one, that's a name I'm looking at because he's such a good fit in the cover three scheme. Kelvin Joseph is another name that I really, really like. Asante Samuel Jr., like, there's a ton of good players, and that's why, as much as we talk about moving up, the strength of this draft, in my opinion, is from 25 to 75. That's where I think the draft is really good. You know, up top, defensively, it's not very good. It's really good offensively up top, but in that 25 to 75 range is where you're going to pick off guys that you can place on your defense and hopefully be difference makers by year two and year three.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, I think, like, the name Cole mentioned, Greg Newsom, is probably, you know, my favorite name to kind of circle.
For sure. I think he's probably gone, you know, around 20. And right. I think you're moving up from 44 to 20, you know, two, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, I think for me, like, my dream, you know, probably a little exaggerated, like, dream scenario is – trading, you know, Chicago comes up to get a quarterback. You know, they trade 20 to come up to 10. You stockpile some picks. Maybe you take Greg Newsom there. And then with those picks you stockpiled, you move up and let's just say get a Jameen Davis type of player or Trayvon Morig or something like that. If that's their best play, you know, if they have him graded significantly higher than Richie Grant, like, that's something I would like to do. I just think with this team, like Cole, like you said, like, they seem to really be set on winning now. Like, don't just sit around and pick at 10 and 44 and like go get the guys that you
make
want.
Some moves,
you're right. Like, I don't want to just like, Dalton, I completely agree with you as well. Like, the strength of this draft is probably in that late day one, early day two mold. But like, if you can somehow come out of this draft, in the first three rounds with two first round grades and a, you know, second round grade or a third round grade with, you know, moving around a little bit, then I'll take that all day. And I think, I mean, again, like I said, is it logical that you're probably going to move back to 20 and then move back up to 20, you know, 5, 26 to get a Jameen Davis? Probably not, but it's something that I think that they should be going through these scenarios right now. Like, how can we get as many talented players on our team as possible? And to me, with as many picks as they had, I don't know if sitting still and just letting these guys fall to you is it. I'm not saying it's not, because there is a lot of depth and a lot of talent there, but I think I'd like to see him be pretty aggressive and move around and move up.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The one name I want to talk about next, and just because it's kind of a... I heard on the draft show today they talked about it a little bit, but Christian Barmore is a guy that I like, I don't love. He didn't end up with a first-round grade for me. He slightly beat out Aleem McNeil for the best defensive tackle in this draft for me, but they are very close. Is that a guy that you think... I know I want to ask you both ways, but like, would you do it? Would you move up to, let's say he falls out of the first round. Let's say Tampa Bay goes a different direction. Like, would you move up? Say you move your 44 and you move one of your fourth round picks to move up six or seven spots or something to get a guy like that at the start of day two? Or would you rather just sit still and maybe take a Uwuzurike or a Lee McNeil? I mean, again, it just doesn't seem like they have as much infatuation with some of these guys that we do. So I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on Barmore and what you'd be willing to do with him as well.
Nah, I mean, I have a mid-second round grade on Christian Barmore, and that's where I would take him. So, no, I would not do anything to move up for him.
Who's your top? Yeah. Is he or still he your is, top yeah. grade?
Okay. Yeah, he's my top grade.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I don't think it's worth moving up and using those picks to move out just for Christian Barmore. I do like him a lot, but we've also seen this front office not really invest a lot of premium resources into the position either. So I don't really think it's something that's on their mind to move up for Christian Barmore. But like you said, there's some guys that can get either in the second or third round, like an Aleem McNeil, for instance, that might be you don't have to move up for and you can use those picks in a better way.
Yeah, no, I mean, my like dream scenario for this draft, which I want to, we'll kind of end on this. We're going quick tonight. We recorded a live mock draft stream last night. That'll be out. You should be able to see that on YouTube. We did it live, but you should be able to go back and see it. So we're doing that. So this is going to be a little bit shorter podcast, but I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this too. But my like dream day one and day two drafts for the Cowboys right now is either one of those corners, whether it's Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn, either one of those guys at 10, at 44, and you know, if some way Trayvon Moehrig or Richie Grant's there at 44, one of those guys, and then At 75, Alim McNeil, and then at 99, that's kind of the range where I feel like you're looking at an offensive tackle, one of those linebackers if they fall, but like any of those guys in that range, like flip it around. You know, if you feel like Alim McNeil is going to be there at 99, like take your Jabril Cox at 75, take your, you know, take that guy there and then get McNeil later. And if you like, I love Alim McNeil, but if you miss out on Alim McNeil and you end up with a Marvin Wilson, which I know Dalton, I don't think you love Marvin Wilson by any means, but like not a terrible consolation prize, I guess, if you miss out on him, but it's, what would you guys' dream, like, day one and day two top 100 draft be for the Cowboys today?
Jalen Waddle at 10. I'm not kidding. I mean, that would be my dream. So, but my realistic, I guess, realistic in quotations, would be one of the top two corners. And then after that, it would be Richie Grant at 44. After that, it would be Alim McNeil at 75, and then at 99, you're looking at a developmental offensive tackle, and I mean, there are a ton of them in this draft class. I'm not even going to start to go over them. And then, you know, you can also look at a linebacker at that point as well, and I kind of went through them earlier. There's about 10 to 12 good ones in this draft class that you can look at in those areas. And then, honestly, I would like to pick up another one technique later in the draft. I mean, there's guys Tonga. Like Jordan Scott, Cyrus Tonga from BYU, Jordan Scott from Oregon. Jonathan Marshall is a kind of a three technique from Arkansas, but he's super athletic. I watched him earlier today. And then Darryl Slayton from Florida is another guy, 6'4", 330 pounds. He's got levers for arms. And he's, you know, very explosive, not super fast, but he's explosive out of the off the snap. And so, you know, those are the type of guys, and I wrote about this today in a mock draft that I wrote. Those are the guys that you get on day three, is those one techniques. Yeah. That's where you attack it, because that position is just, it's undervalued.
Doesn't, I mean, they play different, but doesn't Jordan Scott, like, when you watch him, doesn't he kind of remind you of Puna Ford?
Going to say that. I was going to guess that you were going to ask about Puna Ford. And I agree, because they're both that shorter, stockier build. I don't know how long Jordan Scott's arms are, but I don't think they're as long as Puna Ford's, because he's, you know, 6'1", but he's got a 6'8" wingspan.
Yeah. Cole, we'll let the podcast end with you, but give me your little dream scenario there for rounds 1, 2, 3 for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, in a fantasy world, I think Waddle would also be my dream pick. I just think he would add another element to this offense that they don't have, and Gallup's obviously expiring next year. But to be more realistic, I do really like if they can go with a Surtain at 10. Again, he's probably not the flashiest player in the world. He's not the most exciting guy, but he's really, really good. I think he would be a really good fit in this defense. And if they compare him with like a Richie Grant in round two, I think you're already really feeling really, really good with those two top 50 picks. And then, if you can get a D tackle in the third round, like if Ali McNeil falls, if you can get somebody like that, I think you're shoring up the defense. And that's. What if you tell me those are the first three picks of the Cowboys draft, I think you're feeling awesome.
I would like to edit mine a little bit, because I didn't know we were going just balls to the walls on the the 50 burger here. But I think, honestly, like, as much as I love Waddle and as much as I know he'd be make a big impact, like, I think Kyle Pitts.
I do like Kyle Pitts too, yeah.
Ifeatu Melifonwu.
Okay.
Ardarius Washington, like that style of guy in the third, and then, you know, still an Alim McNeil. Like, if you can guarantee, you know, if you could tell me today that Ifeatu Melifonwu falls to 44, I am 100% okay with passing on one of those guys at 10. Yeah. 100% with it. Like, if you can guarantee me that, all day. Take Kyle Pitts. You know, do something crazy. Take Jalen Waddle. Like, I am okay. It's just, I don't. You know, like,
you don't think
the other,
he makes it there?
I don't. I mean, he shouldn't. I'm not saying he doesn't. Yeah. Again, like, I don't know how the NFL feels about him.
It's hard to predict.
And it's like, for me, it's like, I like a lot of those other corners, you know, but Greg Newsom's not going to make it there. I like Kelvin Joseph, but there's like, I don't love him. Like, it's not to the point where I'm like, if he's there at 44, pass on, you know.
Yeah, my top guy.
So that's where I'm at with it. But we just wanted to run through some of these trade-up scenarios, talk about some of these guys who should get drafted, you know, in that 20 to 40 range, and just see if there's any names that really jumped out at us as guys that we should move up for. But we appreciate everybody listening. Go back on the YouTube channel and check out the round one mock draft we did last night live. We did all 32 picks, so we were excited to break that down and talk about that. So go check that out, and then we'll have a ton of more draft content and podcasts coming out for you over these next few weeks, as we're in draft month, and we only got a few. We're, 21 days away, I think it is. So we got a quick climb to this bad boy. So there's still a lot to figure out. Their teams are building their boards, but we'll get there soon enough. So thank you guys so much for listening. We're the Talking the Draft podcast, and we'll see you guys next time.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more, strengthen security posture, and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's VANTA.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.